Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here, and believing you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. We believe that you're Alpha and that you have become Omega, that you have come in this hour with a shout, Lord, a great declaration of who you are and why that you're here. And now, Father, as we would open your word this morning, we pray that you would anoint our lips and our hearts, Lord, that we might speak and receive, Lord, that which you would have us to know. And Father, if there be any thoughts that are mine that you wouldn't want spoken, I just pray that you would seal my mouth, Lord, and not let it be spoken. And Father, we just pray for these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue, and we'll be speaking this morning from paragraph 179 of Who is this Melchizedek? This will be number 151 in our series, and I'd like to entitle it The Supernatural God Amongst a Natural People. Now, before we begin our reading this morning, I just want to say that Brother Branham is now about to begin to pray for the people. We're approaching that part of the sermon. There's 195, I believe, paragraphs in his sermon, and we're at 179, so we're getting very close to where he's going to be praying for the sick. He's already been talking in the last few paragraphs about how it is that God comes and God does these things, and that if the people would just channel, if they would just use him as that channel to say, Lord, I know that this man doesn't know me, but you know me, and therefore, Father, if you speak through this man's lips, then I'll know for certain that my prayers have come into your presence and that you're here to give me the desire of my heart. And so Brother Branham kind of lays that foundation down, and now he begins. He says, now Father God, this is totally out of the hands of any man. It'd have to be a supernatural phenomena, so I pray that you'll help me, Lord. I'm in your hands. Do with me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's kind of the end of his prayer, but notice how Brother Bram says this is totally out of the hands of any man. In other words, he's acknowledging that man just can't do what he's about to do. And man just can't do what he's about to request God to do. He says it's even out of my hands. Then he says it would have to be a supernatural. Now, what does the word supernatural mean? We all know what natural is, but what does supernatural mean? Steve.
Above and beyond,
above and beyond. Out of the ordinary? Absolutely. Now, what does the word supernatural tell you? That what he is asking is above anything that can occur in nature. It's above nature. It is out of the ordinary. It will take an intercession, from the one who controls all nature, and it's above nature. In other words, he is saying it is not a natural thing or something of ordinary nature that he's requesting, but something that is of God nature in design. And so we see that Jesus prayed, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, as he taught the disciples to pray, he was laying out a pattern for all of us to follow. And that is a pattern that we must first acknowledge where you expect your help to come from. Like Brother Bram said, you know, the thing about a hog, he never lifts his head to see where his food came from. And so if we, when we begin to pray, Jesus said, first we must acknowledge the one in whom we're praying to, our Father who art in heaven. Holy, holy is thy name. And then he says, thy kingdom come, because thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are taught then that we must first acknowledge the place and the person to whom we're going with our request. Our Father who art in heaven. In other words, Father, I know that you are above everything that I could possibly ask. And I know that everything that I could possibly think to ask, you are more than able to perform. And so we hear Brother Branham here using the same approach as our Savior in addressing the Almighty God. He says, Now, Father God, this is totally out of the hands of any man. It'd have to be supernatural phenomena. So I pray that you'll help me now, Lord. I'm in your hands. Then Brother Branham comes continues, talking to God as he says, I'm in your hands. In other words, I'm stepping out of this picture. I no longer am going to be involved with what is going on here. I'm getting myself out of the way that you and you alone might take over and thus receive the preeminence for what is about to happen. And then he adds, do with me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one time Brother Branham was talking about, he said, about, you know, just his love for the Lord. And he said, you know, I love him so much that if it was his desire, his will, if it would please him for me to burn in hell, he said, that's where I'd want to be. Now, that seems like an awful strange thing. But you have to understand, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for a brother. I've heard him say that several times, and I thought, my, how could a man say that? And yet, he understood sovereignty. God is God. And so Brother Branham said, if I love him, I'm willing to go wherever he wants me to go, to do what he wants me to do. If I can but just do one thing, get myself out of the way, that God might have the preeminence. In other words, I'm stepping out of the picture. I no longer am going to be involved with what's going on here, Lord. May it be a passive. May God be working. Just may I be that vessel, that's all. Completely surrender to your will, to your way. Do with me as you see fit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Could we all pray that this morning? That one simple statement, do with me as you see fit. I wonder sometimes if even I look amongst the ministry and ministers throughout the world, and I wonder sometimes if we just don't kind of get ourselves in the way. But here's a humble prophet, knowing that he was being put on the spot because he'd been talking to the people about, if you could just pray that God will hear your prayer and answer through me. And now the stage has been set. What if it doesn't happen? Everything he'd been preaching for, what if it doesn't happen? It shows that he has so much trust and confidence in God. And yet still, with that trust and confidence, look how humbly he approached God. He said, do with me as you see fit. What a beautiful thought that we're looking at this morning. A man so trusting in the mercy of God and in the judgment of God, God's opinion, his assessment, that he is not afraid of any action that God might take, knowing that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are the called or the elect. They called according to his purpose. Now let's pause in our thinking here and just take the scripture where Paul is speaking about this. We turn to Romans chapter 8. In reading from verse 26, we read, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, the Spirit, not a Spirit, but the Spirit, God's Spirit itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. How many times you go to pray and your mind is so cluttered, yes, that you just have a hard time praying? I know even the last few days I have had a hard time thinking. My mind, my whole head is so, it feels like it's going to explode, and I can't sleep. My thoughts and my sleep are just nonsense. It just, nothing makes sense. I try to pray for a few minutes and nothing makes sense. And Paul says, you know, he says, likewise, the Spirit, God's Spirit, also will help our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray as we ought to know. So he's not saying that, you know, you shouldn't know what to pray for. He said, you ought to know what to pray for, but our infirmities take over. They clutter your mind. They clutter your thinking. You don't think straight. You get in a situation where it just seems like nothing's going the way that you want it to go, and you can't think of a way out sometimes. But God always has the answer. So His Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, God's own Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so sometimes you might be praying, and maybe in your mind, nothing, no thoughts are gelling, no thoughts are coming out complete. It's all maybe just a lot of little pieces of thoughts in your mind. But He says, don't worry about it, because the Holy Spirit Himself is actually doing the intercession, doing the prayer for us. That's how all things can work together for the good. I remember Brother Branham telling a story one time. He said, I found myself, he said at 8:30, I think it was something around 8:30, he said, I was on my knees and I was praying. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I found myself praying in tongues. He said, it was a strange occurrence for me, but he said, I didn't realize what I was praying for. I just kind of let the Holy Spirit take over. And he said, then later on that night, we were in the meeting. Maybe it was 6:30 because the meeting was later. He said, and they had brought a woman down from, I think it was in Illinois. And they had brought her down. She had to be laid down in the station wagon the whole trip down. And he said, right then, he said, the Holy Spirit called the woman out. And said, at 6:30, she was healed on her way down to the meetings. And it was at 6:30 that he was praying for things that he knows not. God, His Spirit, using us as a vessel of intercessory. So we find then, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Just as Brother Branham is about to enter into this sort of intercessory role on the behalf of all those people in the prayer line, he does not know what will come before him. It could be cancer. It could be marriage problems. It could be terrible diseases, could be infirmities, could be missing limbs, whatever. He didn't know what he was going to be praying for. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, and Brother Branham knew one thing. If he could just get himself out of the way, then God's Spirit would take over, the right prayer would be said, and the right thing would take place.
Amen.
I'll never forget when that morning that I prayed for those laptops. Well, an hour before that, my mind wasn't on laptops. My mind wasn't on those things. But how the Lord could work you into a condition to where your mind, you're thinking of things that He already has an answer for. And so when I prayed for those, 2 hours later, the answer was there. We were given 82 laptops. More than we had need of, more than we had asked for. He's more than willing to give more than we should ask or think. And yet, who was it that prayed the prayer? It certainly wasn't me. He might have used my lips. He might have used my heart. But it was His divine Spirit that was using this vessel so that this vessel would recognize the hand of Almighty God, and the world around would know that testimony. Brother Branham said when Jesus preached, it wasn't Jesus preaching, it was the Spirit of God in Him preaching. Jesus said, the Son can of Himself do nothing, but whatsoever He seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. Jesus said, I am nothing, I can do nothing, but what the Father doeth, that doeth the Son likewise. And so we can recognize then one thing, Jesus knew how to get himself out of the way. You see, if we have been born again by the Spirit of God, the same God life that dwelt in Christ is in you. Maybe not to the same measure because the fullness was in him, but certainly that God life is there. When that little baby is in the womb of his mother, he's linked by the umbilical cord to the very same life. Therefore, what the mother eats, he eats. Therefore, what the mother breathes, he breathes. Therefore, what the mother drinks, he drinks. And when we have the conduit of God's Word, what God says, we say. What God does, we do. What God wills, we will. In the Old Testament, we can see that the priest was the one who would take the request of the believer into the presence of the high priest. And then that high priest would take all the requests before the Lord God himself. I think it's a beautiful type of Melchizedek. And we know that Jesus Christ entered into the priesthood of Melchizedek. And so we had a prophet in this day as a priest take the request from the people. He would stand there. The person would be ail, lame, whatever. And he'd look at that person. Sometimes you could see the tumor just hanging on the person's face, on their neck, or whatever. Other times it was something that was hidden in the heart. But we know that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. And he said, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. And so Brother Branham couldn't intercede until he came to do the intercession, because he is the high priest of our confession. And now the priest is helpless. He cannot say yes or no until the high priest comes back and says the Urim and Thummim of God has spoken yea, or nay and nay. Therefore, we see William Branham standing here completely helpless unless God steps on the scene. He is standing there as a mortal man, knowing that unless God himself steps forward to take over, that he is just that close, just like that, to ending his ministry. And the Apostle Paul tells us here, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit, God's Spirit, helps us in our infirmities. For we don't know even what to ask or pray for. How many times you've been in a conundrum? You've been in a situation where if you do this thing, something's going to happen you don't want. If you do this thing, something's going to happen you don't want. And you don't know which way out. You don't know what way to pray. And then God lays an answer that's over here someplace, completely outside of your own thinking. The Spirit, God's Spirit, helps our infirmities, for we don't even know what to ask or pray for. And so God's own Spirit is within us to intercede on our behalf for the things that we have need of. He says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Paul continues by saying in verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then you know one thing, if the Holy Spirit, that portion of God's Spirit in you is making intercession on your behalf, you know it's going to be according to the will of God. Notice again, Paul says, he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. And who is he that searches the hearts? It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are truth. And the Word of God is more powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Oh, if we could always just know what the mind of the Lord is for us. I think sometimes when we pray, we often just get down and we begin by reciting what is on our minds without waiting to get into his mind or the mind of the Spirit of God. And every man that has been born of the Spirit of God has enough of God's own Spirit in you, that if you would just step aside of your own will and your own thoughts on it, and allow for that Spirit of God that is within you to begin speaking, you would soon find that you do know what to pray for, because God has placed within you a conduit to His very presence, which links you together in heavenly places. And that link is His own Word, which Jesus said is His Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 we read, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Well, you can let your mind run wild with that. So it is not something that comes to your mind just naturally. Nature has nothing to do with this communication between you and God. It is something God does. And it is given to you. Paul goes on to say, God hath apocalypto to them. He has uncovered them. He has unveiled them. He has made them known to us. How? By His Spirit, which is His Word. For the Spirit searches all things. The Word searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, He's not talking about your spirit here, for He says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Therefore, what Paul is saying is that God does something by way of supernatural that allows you to receive the Spirit of God. The Spirit, not just a Spirit, but the Spirit, which is the Word, which is the life of God, and thereby brings us into communion and fellowship with God's very own presence. He goes on in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows." Therefore, if it's not a natural thing for a man to be able to know the supernatural God, then God must make a way for us to receive the things which are of Him or out from Him. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us out from God, out of God." And how do we receive the Spirit of God? By receiving the Word. In John 14 and verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you." That's me. He's saying, look, I'm the one dwelling with you, "and He shall be in you." In other words, the one that's in me speaking. The one that's dwelling with you now in me. It's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. The one that's in me cannot come. And He says, "But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Notice Jesus says, "You know Him, for it is He that is now dwelling with you. But one day He that is in me and is with you will come into you as well." In John chapter 7, verse 38, we read, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now we know what Spirit was dwelling in Jesus. It was God Himself. It was God that said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Notice He said, "In whom I am well pleased." Now, Brother Branham said God was actually saying it there, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell in." And I remember reading years ago, and I came across that in several places where Brother Branham said, "In whom I am pleased to dwell in." And I said, I can't find that anywhere in the Scriptures. I got up the Strong Concordance, and I got it all, and I couldn't find any place that the Bible says, "In whom I am pleased to dwell in." And then something spoke to my heart and said, read it again. And so I took up my Bible in Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now I have 26 Bible versions to choose from in reading this. And every one of them says either "in whom" or "with whom" or even "on whom my favor rests." So Brother Branham's interpretation of the scripture is exactly with what is being said here. But the perverters of scripture can't even read their Bibles, right? Because they are so dead set against Brother Branham that they purposely will take and twist in their own to their own destruction, as Peter said that they did with the Apostle Paul. And the reason they cannot understand is because it was hidden from the world, but it was revealed unto babes such as are willing to learn. In Matthew 11:25, he says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." So getting back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13 now, we read, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." Notice the next thing he says, "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so I could take and read them that scripture over and over and over again, where he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," and they won't read it that way. In whom? They won't read it, "in whom." They'll read it, "This is my beloved Son, and I'm pleased with him." But it says, "in whom I'm pleased." And Brother Brown said, "in whom I'm pleased to dwell in." Because the word "in" means to dwell in. All right. Notice, "For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Neither can he know them. Now, I didn't write that, but God did. This is his word. This isn't mine. It's his. And he can do with it whatsoever he wishes. And he said that he will reveal to whomsoever he wishes. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15 we read, "But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man." Now look, who's going to judge the man that is right? Oh, you know, these men try to set themselves up as judges of God's word, but they don't even know God. They don't know him, much less his own word. You know, they would deride Brother Branham because of his lack of education. And they would say, "Well, you know, he sure doesn't know his Bible." But Brother Branham would always retort, "But I know the author real well. I know the author real well." Now, what would you rather know? The jot and tittle? The Greek diphthong? Or would you rather know the author? Who wrote it? Verse 16. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. And that is the only way that you can know the mind of the Lord, is that you have the mind of the Lord in you. Now, getting back to Romans 8, in verse 28 we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose." Not just some things work together. Not just a few things will work together. Not just a majority of the things will work together. But he said, all things shall work together for the good. The problem is that we don't know what is for our good or not. How many of you parents have had to chasten your children? The kids didn't understand why you chastening them. Many times we don't know what's for our own good. You say, "Well, I'm doing this for your own good." Well, you know what, Dad? You know, my dad would take the old stick out, the old piece of, molding at the bottom there, or chair molding, or he'd get the old switch out, say, this is for your own good. And I think, for my own good. But yes, it was for my good. But see, I was at a point at that point, I didn't know what was for my good. But what he's trying to instruct is, like the Bible says, you'll spare not the rod. What's for our good is every son that cometh to God must first be tried and chastened. He that's willing to suffer with Christ shall reign with him. You see, suffering builds character into us. If we've got everything that we want and have need of, we get like they do in Laodicea, blind, miserable, and don't even know that we're that condition. So God brings about a chastisement. He brings about a correction. And we know that all things shall work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And as I said many times, God answers in a way that you're not expecting. But that answer leads to another thing. And when you can look back on it, you say, boy, that was just the hand of God. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He has also called. And whom He has called, to them He has also justified. And whom He has justified, to them He has, past tense, already glorified. Then it's finished as far as God is concerned. And if it's finished, then what? Then what shall we say to these things, He says in verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not with Him also freely give us all things? Notice, if God has already proved His love for you by sacrificing the one who was closest to Him, and the one that He loved the most, His beloved Son, if He has already done that for you, then you ought to know that everything else is going to work out for your good as well. In verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? Come on. Who is there among you that is still condemning you? He tells us, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, they make fun of Brother Branham. He said, you know, if you're a real Christian, then you were in Christ before the foundations of the world. And if you were in Him before the foundations of the world, then when He died on the cross, you died with Him. And they say, oh man, what a wacko Brother Branham is. How could you have been in Him? Well, they say that because they weren't. But my Bible says that I was in Him before the foundations of the world. You see? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When Jesus went to the cross, you were on His mind, or He wouldn't have gone. He said, Father, I pray that not for these only that are here, but I pray for those that would hear because of them. Because I know my mission. I know what I'm here for. And now I pray that You would make them one with us, with me, with You, even as I am one with You. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to do it? Can anyone? No. Then Paul goes on to say a whole list of things that cannot separate you from the love of Christ. He says, nay, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Notice, shall tribulation? What's a little testing? Shall distress or stress? Shall persecution or famine? or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear merciful God, we have stood here this morning in your presence, as helpless as we can be. And yet we know that you have not left us nor forsaken us, and that you have a purpose for each and every one of us. And Father, we realize that you have come down to fulfill that promise. Now grant, Father, that we may know you in the power of your resurrection. For you said, if that Spirit that rose up Jesus, if that be in us, it will also quicken our mortal bodies. And it is in this quickening process that we long to enter, for we ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our first fruit. Amen. Amen. I know whom I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. Let's, in closing, if we would, just from Numbers 6, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee, and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you. And give thee peace. And give thee peace. And give thee peace forever. God bless you all.